Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Man indicted on smuggling charges. A 33-year-old Odessa man, authorities believe smuggled 13 people across the Mexican border last April, was indicted earlier this month on 5 smuggling charges. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, a trooper saw the driver of a GMC Yukon exit from Interstate 20 onto the South Service Road heading toward West County Road shortly before midnight on April 20th, 2022. The driver of the Yukon, later identified as Freddie Aguirre, failed to keep to a single lane, and after the trooper activated his lights for him to pull over, saw him drop off two men before driving through the red light at West County Road. The trooper wrote in his report, Aguirre almost caused several wrecks on the West County Road while driving north in the southbound lanes, prompting a pursuit that reached speeds of about 115 miles per hour, the trooper wrote. Aguirre drove into several neighborhoods, making several turns before stopping at North Easy Avenue and West Doris Drive. The trooper reported several people fled from the Yukon, and 14 people were apprehended, including Aguirre. Aguirre was arrested on suspicion of 13 counts of unlawful transportation of person or pecuniary benefit and evading arrest, and booked into the Ector County Jail. He was released on April 14, 2021, after posting 14 surety bonds totaling $107,500. Online, Ector County District Court records indicated he was indicted in November 2021 on a single count of evading arrest. He was indicted on 5 counts of smuggling of persons on May 2nd and arraigned Monday. Man charged with indecency with 14-year-old. A 23-year-old Odessa man was arrested May 12th after admitting he'd repeatedly behaved inappropriately with a 13-year-old girl. According to an Odessa Police Department report, police were called to the 4300 block of Redbud Avenue around 11:30 p.m. May 11th about a disturbance. When officers arrived, a woman in the home told them the girl had complained to her that Antonio Reyes Prieto repeatedly tried to unbutton her pants while they were sitting on a couch together, despite the fact she kept swatting him away. The woman told officers she confronted Prieto with a couple of people as witnesses, and he confessed, prompting one of the witnesses to punch him in the face. The report stated, Prieto, who was still there when police arrived, confessed to touching the girl inappropriately while she was sleeping a few days prior and again the following night, according to the report. He also told the officers he'd deserved to be punched. Prieto was arrested on suspicion of indecency with a child, sexual contact, and booked into the Ector County Jail. He was released later the same day after posting a $20,000 surety bond. Man charged with manufacturing or delivery of a controlled substance. A 28-year-old Odessa man awaiting trial on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge was arrested last week and his bond revoked after a pretrial supervision officer reported finding a few thousand surprises at his home along with cocaine, according to online Ector County District Court records. Austin Allen Edward Neer was indicted in December 2020 after being accused of threatening another man with a gun 2 months earlier. He was released after posting a $20,000 surety bond. On May 12th, a pretrial supervision officer visited Neer's home in the 3600 block of Eisenhower and found 4.8 grams of cocaine, drug paraphernalia, and a Nike shoebox filled with money, court documents state. When questioned, Neer told the officer there was $3,000 to $4,000 in the box. Neer, who lives less than 1,000 feet away from Wilson and Young Middle School also tested positive for cocaine, according to the report. Neer told the officer he frequently smokes the marijuana he grows in his backyard and uses cocaine. Neer was booked into the Ector County Jail on a motion to revoke bond warrant and on suspicion of manufacturing or delivery of a controlled substance. He's being held without bond in the former and on a $60,000 surety bond in the latter. Man charged with threatening woman with a knife. A local transient was arrested Monday afternoon after a 52-year-old Odessa woman called 911 from her locked pickup truck to say she'd been threatened by a man with a knife. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the woman told police she was cutting weeds in a parking lot near Letty Lee Avenue and East 8th Street around 2 p.m. when a man later identified as William Arnett, 57, began yelling at her from across the street. Arnett continued to yell at her as he crossed the street and approached her with an unfolded pocket knife down at his side, the woman told police. Fearing for her life, she ran to her Ford F-150, got in, locked the door, and called 911 and her husband, who drove to the scene. The woman's husband told police Arnett was near the pickup truck holding a knife when he arrived, but then walked away, according to the report. An OPD officer reported that when he approached Arnett, Arnett placed a knife on the ground with the blade tucked into the handle. The officer described Arnett as extremely belligerent. Arnett was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and public intoxication. As of Wednesday, he remained in the Ector County Jail on two surety bonds totaling $25,312. Native Odessa violinist returns to Permian Basin. Dominique Valenzuela will never forget where he comes from. The Odessa native violinist, who is currently finishing up his master's in orchestral performance over at the Tianjin Juilliard School in China, will soon be moving back to the United States to start his second master's, this time in orchestral performance at the Juilliard School in New York City. This week, Valenzuela returned home to help out high school orchestra students at both Permian and Odessa High as part of this week's Cassette in the Basin. Cassette in the Basin is a musical educational program that brings the Cassette String Quartet to West Texas biannually to inspire and work intensively with students from elementary to college and help expand their horizons, as well as develop people through music. He arrived back in Odessa on Monday this week and on Tuesday got a chance to work with students over at the same high school he was briefly a part of before going to the University of North School of Art. Odessa, Midland, this is my home, Valenzuela said. It's really nice. I just flew in from China, so I haven't had much of a chance to explore. But driving through University Avenue and seeing all of the places that I grew up recognizing, it's been really surreal, and to speak with these kids has been interesting. It's like looking in a mirror of my past. I used to sit in these same chairs. It's a very surreal experience and exciting to come back home and see where I've come from. Growing up, Valenzuela had a rough life as his family grew up in different parts around Odessa and Midland with food and money being scarce. I would say that in general, everybody faces hardships in their life, Valenzuela said. I grew up with bouts of homelessness. I grew up in a very impoverished family. There were times where we were living in cars or didn't have enough food to eat. I always saw my mom working hard and my family working hard as best they could. It was when he was attending school at Crockett Middle School when Valenzuela discovered the violin, and soon his love of music began. Cassette in the Basin helped fuel his passion for playing the violin when he was at Crockett Middle School and Odessa High. In the summer of 2012, when Valenzuela was accepted into the University of North Carolina School of Arts, where he eventually finished his high schooling through the preparatory school, Valenzuela would study in North Carolina for 8 years before getting accepted into the Juilliard School in Tianjin, China. Valenzuela shared his life story with students at Odessa High on Tuesday and took questions. "When I found music, I found my passion," Valenzuela said. "At first, I didn't know I could make a career out of music. I just loved music." The students were asked about how I got into Juilliard, and my answer was simply put, "Work hard, and it's so important that you find your passion and focus on that, whatever it is. It could be math or music or science. You just find that one thing you love, and you get really good at it. Then you'll find that you're good at other things, too." Another question that a student asked Valenzuela was about how to deal with failure. "I think that the advice I gave to him was, whenever you have failure, you have to take that as a win," Valenzuela said. "It may not feel as good as a win, but to experience failure is to experience an opportunity to learn from your mistakes and learn from the experience and keep going." He brought up his favorite athlete, the late Kobe Bryant, as one of the people who have been a source of inspiration. "I talked about athletes who mentally have put in more work than they have physically," Valenzuela said. "Of course, physically, they've put in a lot of work. Kobe Bryant and Michael Phelps always talked about how they think about what they do. They have similar philosophies that musicians and athletes are beginning to embody now." Members of his family include his mom, Amanda Valenzuela, and his aunt, Crystal Rodriguez, have also been sources of inspiration to him. "Of course, my mom and my aunt became these two women who worked so hard and dedicated their lives to their children," Valenzuela said. "Because they were immigrants, their struggles were very different from what I had." When talking about where he came from when growing up and where he is now with getting his master's at Juilliard, Valenzuela said he's been humbled by the experience. "I look back on my life and there's nothing I would have done that I could not do without the team of people who have helped me overcome all of the challenges life has thrown at me," Valenzuela said. "There's a great sense of accomplishment in me. I graduated from the Juilliard School in China, and now I'm going to the Juilliard School in New York. It's a school that has a premier feel to it. Just the name is something I am very grateful that I can attach to my name. I feel accomplished, and yet I feel there's more to be done." Cassette in the Basin founder and violinist for the Cassette String Quartet in New York, Jennifer Leschnauer, talked about having Valenzuela return to Odessa this week. Like Valenzuela, Leschnauer is a native Odessan. "Dominique is an example of a student from Odessa, just like me, who found a passion for music at a young age, and with the help of Cassette in the Basin and his teachers and community at large, he has been able to have a series of trainings at different schools," Leschnauer said. "It's important to Cassette in the Basin to give opportunities to students wherever they want to go. Through music, one's life can be improved. The discipline can be applicable to anybody's life. Having the knowledge of music enriches one's life. It advances the mind and feeds the soul." Board raises teacher pay to highest in region. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees approved pay raises for its 4,200 employees during their meeting Tuesday. Superintendent Scott Murray said a proposed compensation plan was discussed last week. "The total budget impact is $9.367 million, Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said. It included a 3% to midpoint raise for all campus-based professionals. Raising starting teacher pay to $58,750, it is currently $57,000, which is a $1,820 increase. Murray adjusted a 2% of midpoint pay increase for all central office professionals to 3%, a 4% of midpoint increase for all hourly employees. School-based or central office was also approved, along with an increase in minimum wage to $15 an hour. This was up from $10 an hour 2 years ago. As we look across the state, there are districts not able to do anything. There are districts that are making some significant moves. We've seen layoffs, a variety of situations just in Texas right now, Murray said. At this point, we will have the highest teacher salary in our region, which, Murray said, will help retain and attract people. He added that with the hourly wage increase, it makes ECISD competitive in the community. This is a very healthy package that will make a statement not only in our community, but in the state, Murray said. Before the vote on the plan, Javier Ruiz, president of the Ector County TSTA-NEA, said he appreciated that all employees will be rewarded. Ruiz said this year has been extremely tough with inflation rising to historic levels. He asked that the board use elementary and secondary school emergency relief ESSER funds to offer a retention stipend to teachers as they are leaving the profession like never before. He said the raises were in step in the right direction. The board also approved a redistricting plan and approved making it effective immediately so they can fill the District 7 spot vacated by Nelson Minyard. Trustees voted 6-0 to exercise the option in Texas Education Code Section 11.053 to permit trustees in office to serve for the remainder of their terms. ECISD trustees chose to keep the current staggered term structure and not require all trustees to run again in the next election, May 2023. At the workshop in June, Murray said the board will continue discussing resumes for the board position. Interviews and a vote will be held at the regular June meeting. Candidates will complete questionnaires and send them to board members. Trustees also hired Juan Dominguez as principal of Bonham Middle School and Regina Lee as principal of Burnett Elementary. She had been principal of Gale Pond Alamo STEAM Academy. The board also voted 6-0 to approve an amendment to the academic calendar giving high school students additional time to recover, accrue high school credits through July 20th. Summer graduation will now be held on July 28, 2022. Voted 6-0 to approve revisions to local board policies for the District of Innovation DOI Renewal Plan. The board recently approved the ECISD District of Innovation Plan and the related exemptions from state statutes. This action reflects the revisions and updates to local policies that are most pressing due to their impact on staffing and the start of school in 2022-2023. Texas Association of School Boards Policy Service assisted the district in proposing revisions and additions to ECISD board policy, the board recap said. Voted 6-0 to approve an order adopting the results of the bond 2022 election. The official results of the election on May 7th were Proposition A, 4,768 against, and 3,003 for. Proposition B, 5,043 against, and 2,746 for. Reviewed the budget items they prioritized earlier in the semester and how they will be addressed in the budget being built for next year, including compensation, staff incentives, and professional development, creating partnerships to help develop counselors, diagnosticians, bilingual teachers, and speech pathologists, recruitment, adding more recruiting fairs and monetary incentives, and more money directed toward maintenance, capital projects at specified schools. Also, technology improvements, bus ID card and parent app, Wi-Fi on activity buses and device refresh for students and staff, and equity among schools. Under Learning Journey, Gifted, Talented, and International Baccalaureate Reorganization and Expansion and Robotics at Middle Schools and Elementary Schools. The recap said budget work is done all year long. but it speeds up now as the district is closing the current year and preparing for the new year that begins on July 1st. It is anticipated that the tax rate will remain unchanged for the coming year, the recap said. Under special presentations, the top two students from each school were introduced. GHWB New Tech Odessa, 1, Isabella Fanucci Dishon, 2, Emily Banda. OC Techs, 1, Ashley Monquero, 2, Jennifer Lopez Martinez. Odessa Collegiate Academy, 1, Lizeth Rios, 2, Jasmine Porras. Odessa High School, 1, Rigoberto Mendoza Jr., 2, James Vogel. Permian High School, 1, Sweta Kesavan, 2, Jonathan Martinez. In his opening comments, Murray congratulated Trustee Donna Smith on her retirement from Odessa College. He presented her with flowers on behalf of the superintendent's office and school board. ECISD to announce teacher incentive allotment dollars for teachers. Ector County ISD leaders will announce at 10:30 a.m. today just how much money qualifying teachers earned through the teacher incentive allotment. The news conference will be at Murray Fly Elementary, 11688 West Westview. TIA is a creation of the Texas Legislature, and it provides funding to pay highly effective teachers whose students show measurable improvement in academic growth. This is the first payout year for ECISD, and 120 teachers across 31 campuses are going to receive incentives ranging from $3,145 to $19,525. The amount per teacher is based on the level of academic growth their students attained, teacher instructional performance, and the percentage of socioeconomically disadvantaged students at their school, a news release said. There are three levels for which a teacher in Texas can qualify: recognized, exemplary, and master. In ECISD, 64 teachers are recognized, 50 are exemplary, and 6 are at the master level, which is the highest designation. Not only does a qualifying teacher receive the TIA incentive dollars, they also have the recognized, exemplary, or master's designation placed on their teaching certificate. In all, ECISD received $879,579 from the state for TIA incentives. Following the press conference, Murray will deliver the master level incentives to the teachers who earn the highest designation. ECISD is the only Permian Basin school district receiving TIA teacher incentives this year. Read more about teacher incentive allotment in ECISD at tinyurl.com/355p24k2. Redistricting map heads for approval. The Odessa College Board of Trustees came to a consensus about the new redistricting map at a workshop Wednesday in the Wood Math and Science Building. The 9 board members will stay in their respective districts. There is one vacancy left by Larry Johnson in District 5. If the board approves the new districts at its regular meeting May 24th, it can start the process of replacing Johnson. I don't know exactly what our deadline is and how those things work. We'll get all that figured out once we get the plan officially approved, Board Chair Gary Johnson said. Vice President of Administration Services Ken Zartner said the board will adopt a resolution making the map effective immediately. Gary Johnson said it's much easier for voters if the district stays the same. Funding for Odessa College's downtown presence at 222 East 4th Street also were discussed. Zartner said a request for $1.5 million will be made to the board to start downtown Phase 1. Bids will be sent out May 25th, and a special board meeting will be held June 16th to review and select bids. Phase 1 would start June 17th and be completed In June 2023, Zartner said. He added that the meeting may be moved to June 15th. Zartner said the college wants the new area to be open next summer and to serve as an area for Firecracker Fandango and the live music series Hot Summer Nights. Vice President of Advancement, Business and Governmental Relations, Jackie Gore, said a groundbreaking would be possibly be held in June, and there is a donor pending for the project. Trustees also discussed transferring funds from the Odessa College Endowed Scholarship to the foundation. Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm said they would move a total of $333,124 to the foundation from the Parker Endowment and Davidson Family Endowment over a period of time. Gary Johnson said next week's meeting also will include a board reorganization. He suggested moving forward with the officers they have, but at the next meeting they will officially reorganize and elect officers. Hamm recommended staying with Whitley Penn as the independent auditors. This is expected to be brought up at the board meeting. Notice of Wednesday's meeting was not sent out until 5:49 p.m. Tuesday. Non-emergency meetings, including workshops, are supposed to be posted 72 hours in advance. When to replace bioprosthetic valve. Dear Dr. Roach, in 2015, I had my mitral valve replaced with a pig valve. By going this route, I realize it is not a permanent fix. How long should I expect this valve to last before requiring replacement? I'm a 70-year-old male. The recovery from the open-heart surgery was brutal, so I am not looking forward to doing it again. DB. Answer, you can plan on living a long time since more than 50% of bioprosthetic valves, like the porcine valve you have, are still working fine after 20 years. Only about 20% of people with a bioprosthetic mitral valve need replacement after 15 years. In those much younger than you, the risk of deterioration of the valve is higher, so a mechanical valve is usually recommended for those less than age 55 at the time that they need a new valve. A mechanical valve is expected to last a lifetime, but even these very rarely develop mechanical faults. A relatively new procedure called a transcatheter mitral valve implantation may be an option for people who are older or who have a higher risk for traditional surgery. Transcatheter valve replacement is already a very important treatment for aortic valve replacement and may be adopted more commonly with the mitral valve in the future. Obituaries for Thursday, May 19th. Richard Eugene Swain, Carneck. Richard Eugene Swain went to be with our Heavenly Father Friday, May 6th. Richard was born December 1, 1953, to the late Bob Swain and Geraldine Stach in Midland, Texas. Richard is preceded in death by his parents, Bob Swain and Geraldine Stach, brother Mark Smith, former wife and cherished friend Janice Swain. Those left to cherish his memory are his sons, Bob Swain of Bastrop, Sam Swain, and wife Cassandra of Burleson, Texas, brother J.B. Swain of Maubank, Texas, nephew Greg Swain of Kemp, and several grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park in Lubbock, Texas, Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m. with brother Bill Titus officiating, followed by a cremation burial service at Rest Haven Cemetery. Death notices Amanda Nicole Acosta, Odessa. Amanda Nicole Acosta, 33, of Odessa, died Saturday, May 14th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. on Thursday, May 19th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Fort Stockton Catholic Cemetery. St. Francis is officiating. Arrangements are by Eternity Funeral Home of Fort Stockton. Elijah Madrid Barrera, Odessa. Elijah Madrid Barrera, 23, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 15th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Friday, May 20th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 Section. Father Saul is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Diamond Michelle Royale, Midland. Diamond Michelle Royale, 6 weeks of Midland, died Wednesday, May 11th, 2022 in Midland. Celebration of life is for 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 24th at American Heritage. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage of Midland. Bessie Lucille Taylor, Odessa. Bessie Lucille Taylor, 99, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 15th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 21st at Trinity Memorial Park in Big Spring. Family visitation will begin at 6 p.m. on Friday, May 20th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Kimberly Wright, Odessa. Kimberly Wright, 56, died Monday, May 16th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.